What's up, everybody? We're here. It's Charlie Five and Taylor Korn going live to recap Big Cat Weekend and everything that went down over the weekend. Taylor, this is a big night. So this is, number one, my first live stream. So there's going to be some bugs I'm sure we're going to work out. But also, I'm a solo show. So typically, it's just me. You're the second guest ever. You know who? What company you join? It's pretty big.
That's, hey, what an honor. What an honor. So
it's Taylor Korn and Will Herring. That's the only two guests I've ever had. So you're basically a legend already. So again, thanks for coming on and ready to talk about Big Cat Weekend. Just in general, what an electric weekend it was. All the commitments, all the kids that showed up. I can't remember a recruiting event like it, maybe ever.
It felt like the gift that keeps on giving. And it reminded me a little bit of Christmas morning. You open a gift and you're like, this is awesome. And then, you know, your siblings go, it's your turn again. You open another one. You're like, okay, what a surprise. And let's keep this thing rolling.
Yeah, exactly. It's and then you go to your grandmother's house and you got gifts there. And then you go to your aunt's house after that and you got gifts there. It was a lot of fun, and it was kind of cool because they spaced it. I was worried because there was a lot of talk about a bunch of dudes that could the pop on Saturday, and I was afraid, like, how do you schedule that so everybody gets their own moment? But they really did it well. They spaced it out really well. They got the 2026 guys kind of out of the way, and then the 2025 guys went at the end. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun.
One thing that stood out to me, which I know on a lot of visits, this is probably typical, but there were a lot of pictures being posted on social media, obviously. And I think it was from their scavenger hunt that they did.
Yeah.
But seeing what I'm assuming were some of the players' little siblings there is something that I loved. Because, you know, those little kids, that's probably the highlight of their year, being able to be around all of these incredible athletes that they – you know, they'll get to see on Friday nights at their brother's game, but being able to hang out with them in an environment like that is something that I love to see.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And then I know a lot of them got to go to Freeze's house, and that was a big deal. And then all the, like you said, the different games, some of the players were there hanging out. Overall, it was really cool in general. So I'm going to date myself a little bit. Okay. So I remember I was in school for the very first Big Cat Weekend. Okay. So we didn't really know what to expect. You know, it's a bunch, you know, Gene Chizik and Trooper Taylor and all these dudes bringing in guys. Like, I think at one point in time, there was the number one, two, and three running backs in the country were all here at the same time, which makes no sense whatsoever because there's no way they're all going to come to Auburn. But randomly, there was a post on a message board that says everybody's going out to Tumors. We went out to Tumors, and they were like, it was kind of weird because nobody really knew what to do, but they're chanting people's names and rolling Tumors and stuff like that. And this blew that out of the water. And I think you've gotten better as it's gone on, but this one went over the top.
And I don't know why. I feel like, you know, Auburn was obviously one of the first to come up with the idea of having an event like this, but I don't know why you wouldn't, especially when you're having, you know, you have so many players that are undecided, and surrounding them with, you know, obviously some guys that have already committed, but a lot that haven't, them getting to hang out together. If they're not, you know, if they can't all make the same official visit weekend, they all can't go to the same game. I feel like that has to be so beneficial to say, hey, this could be your recruiting class. These could be the guys that you're practicing with and playing with for potentially 4 years, which has to help.
Exactly. I will say, I think a lot of folks have copied I think Big Cat Weekend was sort of the first. Florida used to do a Friday Night Lights event. You know, that was kind of their big thing. And then when Big Cat Weekend started, that's whenever these late summer cookouts and barbecues and all these things started to really take off. And Big Cat sort of just become a brand. Hey, it's lasted through three head coaches. So that's kind of cool. It's on the third head coach. It's still doing really well. But let's talk about a little stuff that happened during Big Cat Weekend. Obviously, you had five commits on Saturday, which is probably the most in a single 24-hour period that's ever happened for Auburn. You had three 2026 guys, two 2025 guys, and you flipped a big Alabama commitment, which there's a big storyline in and of itself there, but let's dive into that one real quick, because that one kind of came later in the day. Nobody's real, I guess, haven't really had a time to kind of recap it and dive in. But Antonio Coleman, four-star defensive lineman from Saraland. Saraland, yeah, that's a comment just came in. Yes, there was a stretch limo at the time. There was a stretch limo and all this kind of wrapped limo thing, and it was crazy during the Trooper Taylor days. But, yeah, Antonio Coleman commits, and this is his, I guess, technically his fourth commitment, and he's had two now to Alabama and Auburn, which is, I can see where people can be a little bit reticent, but I still think it's big to flip it. And I think he's probably here to stay.
That's what I feel like a lot of the response after that was announced a little bit later yesterday afternoon was, okay, you know, how much can we really trust this because of the saga that has happened with the flipping back. But him not being in Tuscaloosa today, obviously,
that's big.
I think should make a lot of people feel better about where this stands. And at some point, you would think that the coaching staff has to say, look, you've done this a couple times now. So, you know, if this is where you want to be, then we're happy to have you. But let's cut the funny business, make your decision, exactly, and then let's stick with it. I would think.
Yeah, that's a really fine line too, because like you want to get the kid, but at the same time, you got to be like, look, man, like you said, we'll take it. And this is kind of what I have been told and what I've heard behind the scenes is that, you know, even after he flipped to Alabama, after he decommitted from Auburn and flipped to Alabama, he was still, I still may want to be in the class. I still may want to be here. And then I think we basically told him like, look, we're not doing that. It's either you're either here and we're not visiting elsewhere, or you're not. You know, if you want to sign with us in December, that's fine, but we're not going to play this back and forth game all season. We're not going to do this, you know, get in this bidding war. We're not doing all this kind of stuff. And I think he came with the intentions to sell Hugh, which is funny. It's usually the opposite way. I think he came with the intention to sell Hugh on, hey, look, I want to be at Auburn, and I'm going to prove it to you. You let me commit. I'm not going to go to Alabama's event, which nobody believed would happen. Everybody believed, even after he committed, we're going to go to Alabama's event. He's going to go to Alabama's event anyway, but he didn't. And I think that's a big, a big step, I guess. You know, he's kind of sticking to his word. So we'll see if that lasts, but I still think, you know, a four-star from Saraland, Mobile area, really starting to build that Mobile pipeline. It's big stuff.
That's what I had, which this is not factual information, but I got a text from a friend of mine that's an Auburn fan yesterday afternoon kind of saying the same thing, you know, can we trust this kid? I'm like, I've never talked to the kids. So I'm just going to say that we can for the excitement. But he was like, imagine, I mean, these people nowadays are probably like, well, so-and-so is going to pay me to commit here. And then so-and-so is going to pay me to commit here. Let me commit everywhere.
Yeah.
Get a whole bunch of money.
Yeah.
And then when I'm done playing the games, I'll be done. And I was like,
just rack up the checks, man. I'd have 10 commitments if it was me. I'd be like you. I'm committing everywhere. Like just you give me if there's an incentive to commit, I'll jump on board everywhere. So sometimes when people get aggravated at stuff like that, I'm like, man, you don't realize this isn't like back in 2005, 2006 when nobody ever flipped. I mean, this is like they're getting paid, or they could possibly get incentives to, you know, getting paid to go commit here, commit there, or go on a trip here or go on a trip there. So it's a completely different ball game. And this is what we've seen. I think though, with this Antonio Coleman deal, I think we're probably going to see him stick, at least for now. And, I mean, you'd love to have this kid. I mean, I don't know if you've watched his huddle film, but it's almost comical. It is. It's abuse is what it is. I have a term, Taylor, called hulking super teens. He is a hulking super teen, and he blows people. Whoever's in front of him is in for a long night. So it's good to have big defensive linemen, keep stacking them up class by class, and glad to add that one. Switching gears a little bit, another Alabama commit that Auburn is going hardcore after. He was here this past weekend. It was really quiet on him. Was Derek Smith. And I think, you know, you and I talked about it. I think a lot of people thought he would have been in that line. I would honestly, when Antonio Coleman committed, I thought that would be Derek Smith. I was not expecting the Antonio Coleman commit, but Auburn's still working hard on this kid. He also did not attend Alabama's recruiting event today, at least based off of their beat writers reporting the people that attended. I guess he could have attended in secret, but at least publicly, they don't seem very happy about it. He comes to Auburn on Big Cat weekend, committed to Alabama, leaves, and does not go to Alabama's event. Could something be on the horizon there? I think it's something we definitely need to be paying attention to.
Well, that's what I started to wonder after the Antonio Coleman flip. I wonder if that impacted Derek Smith. You know, do they want to do this in the same day? And at that point, I mean, I feel like Antonio Coleman was later in the afternoon, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, so, he was.
You know, let him have his moment and then hold off. And because I, like you said, Derek Smith was more highly expected, I would say, to be the one that popped yesterday. But I wonder if that has a little bit of impact. But again, him not being in Tuscaloosa today, why? Who knows?
Yeah.
But I feel like that says something for sure.
For sure. I want to give a quick shout out, Smooth, in the comments. He's an Alabama fan, but I think he watches every one of these shows. And he's a very dedicated commenter. He just said, great weekend for Auburn and Charlie Five. So, Smooth, shout out. Shout out to Smooth. He listens to every show. And he gets a little fiery in the comments, too. It's a lot of fun. He stirs it up, but it's all in good fun. So, So Derek Smith, he comes to Auburn. He goes to Alabama, or he does not go to Alabama. Again, he was on commit watch. Could it be on the horizon? I think this one could be coming to an end pretty soon. Obviously, don't have a date or anything like that, but I think Derek Smith could be joining this class here pretty quickly. I did a show several weeks back. I talked about how Auburn was still going to be pursuing three Alabama commitments. It's grown now. It's grown to probably to four or five, but Antonio Coleman was one, Derek Smith was one, and then obviously Duke Johnson is one as well. So if you could pick off two of those, that would be massive. And I think Derek Smith, the relationship with Charles Kelly is going to end up paying off. And then I love this kid at wide receiver. I don't know if you've seen any of his film. He's electric. He's got kind of like a Odell Beckham style. He's not super big, but he's fast and he can get it done. I think that'll send some shockwaves.
What, if anything, do you know about the relationship between Antonio Coleman and Derek Smith? Do you know if they are
so clear,
great friends? Or
so Derek's from Selma. Antonio Coleman's from Saraland, the Mobile area. I don't know if there's a connection there outside of just being Alabama commits. I don't think one rides on the other one. So in other words, I don't think it's like it's a package deal. Like they're wanting to play together, but surely it's got to help. It's got to help for them to be here and then see all the action that went off yesterday, and then just be you see one flip, you might want to come. You've been flirting with Auburn for a while, talking about Derek Smith. You see one of your boys flip back to from Alabama, flip back to Auburn. Does it make it a little easier to make that decision? Again, I don't think they're necessarily a package deal per se, but it can't hurt. I guess
right.
It can't hurt.
If he was waiting for someone to do it first, then
yeah,
there you
it
go.
Could have been that. It could have been that. And I like your theory too. I mean, five commits in one day. These kids like to have, I mean, I think I like to have publicity. So I know these kids like to have publicity as well. So if you get caught in the wash with five guys, you got five guys, going off at one day, do you want to be the sixth or do you want to hold off, maybe give it a day, let it breathe. And then you get to have your own day. I could see that. I think it makes a lot of sense. I also could see, hey, let me go home and just sleep over it. Sleep on it really quick, sleep on it, make sure I'm making the right decision. And then I'll get my own day on, Monday or Tuesday. I guess if he went on Monday, he'd be sharing it with Anquan Fagans, which I'm sure we'll talk about in just a bit. So it's a big deal. I think that's one definitely to keep an eye on. Another 2025 commit who I really appreciate, this kid, Blake Woodby, the kid that he was a Ohio State decommit. He's from Maryland. He could have been really committed at any point in time, but this is one thing that I think I don't know if you ever fall victim to this, but I do too. It's like when you know a kid is going to commit to Auburn, you sort of like you chalk it up, and his announcement may not be sort of as exciting because you were kind of expecting it. You ever kind of fall into that trap a little bit every now and then?
You get excited at the initial news, and then it happens, and you're like, well, I was excited 2 weeks ago, but let me try and build this back up in my head.
Exactly. And this is a kid who is going to, he's basically almost a consensus top 150 player on a couple of different ranking sites. He's like the, top 10 corner in the country. Ohio State doesn't just take anybody, you know what I mean? They take studs. And to convince him that, Auburn's the place for him. And he decommitted. And it seemed like when he decommitted, he started getting predictions to Auburn like immediately. And I guess a lot of people, it's human nature. You chalk that up. You're kind of banking on it happening. And then, when it does happen, it's like, okay, well, we were already expecting that. If that kid just commits out of the blue, everybody loses their mind. You know what I mean? Like it's huge. So I appreciate him for that. For being able to hang in there because it's a big deal. The secondary, man, they're starting to stack up dudes in the secondary.
And I feel like this was also, at least in my head, not proved a point, but getting so many highly rated in-state guys is great because there is a lot of talent in the state. So you want to, keep these guys home basically, but showing that you're able to recruit.
Yes.
Other places in the country because, you're getting a number of the top 10 players from Alabama, but what about, the elite talent elsewhere?
Right. You can't just 100% recruit only Alabama kids. I think it speaks to, I don't know if you remember, and I've harped on this several times, but the DJ Durkin hire, he coached at Maryland. So he had those relationships and there was some controversy. I know there was a tragedy and then, some people tried to bang on the hire a little bit at Auburn, kind of give us a little bit of grief. But I think this also shows now you got two kids, Bryce Diaz and Blake Woodby from the Maryland area. You get a Maryland transfer that played for Durkin in his eighth year of college. Somehow he's still got a year left. Is transferring in. I think this Durkin guy may not be such a bad guy. I don't know. He may not be such a bad guy. He may be a pretty daggum good coach and have the good relationship. So I don't know. I think that kind of speaks to that a little bit.
Yeah, that should – I don't want to be harsh and say shut some people up, but I mean that should shut some people up.
I don't want to say it, but I'm going to say it. No, I love it. I love it. But yeah, I'm fired up about Blake Woodby, and again to be able to hang in there, even though the excitement probably wasn't that where it should have been, just because everybody had sort of already banked him in the class for so long. Kid's a freak athlete, punt returner, kickoff returner, DB, lockdown. Super, super excited to have this kid. So that was the 2025 kids. You had Blake Woodby, you had Antonio Coleman. You still feel like Derek Smith could be close to flipping. You got Anquan Fagans, who was here, who's coming up on Monday. Are you going to go to that? Or are you going to try to?
I think I'm trying.
You're trying.
A decision has not been made, but hopefully.
Man, I went out to dinner Saturday night when they were here, and it was at Baum Hours, and they were there, I didn't want to be like a fanboy and be like, man, I got you an interview lined up if you want it. I chickened out. If you'd have been there, I'd have been good, but I kind of chickened out on it. But he's one, another one. This is another one that we have to be so excited about this kid for so many reasons. Thompson High School, Auburn's finally starting to kind of build that pipeline at Thompson. B, he's a top 100 player. And then a position of need on top of that. It's just so many things. So on so many levels, it's so big. And hoping I think it is. He did go to visit Alabama today. I think it was one of those. I'm going to give it my honest shot at. Give him at least a shot where I can make sure I'm making the right decision. But I think ultimately, he pulls the trigger for Auburn tomorrow. How do you feel about that one?
I feel good. I feel like everyone that I've talked to has said. Has really expressed no doubt. So that's kind of what I'm banking on. I might be completely off on this, but does he have a brother somewhere?
Yeah, his brother he has two brothers, okay?
Okay.
And his oldest brother just actually transferred to Auburn. So he's actually on the roster right now. I know Traquan, I believe, went to Central Florida, and I can't remember his older brother's name, but he's actually here. He's actually here now. He enrolled, I think, in June. So he's here. He'll be playing. He'll be safety somewhere in the secondary. So, yeah, there's obviously that connection there. So you got to feel good, at least from that perspective.
Right. And if he's approving of the program, he's obviously there for a reason. So follow your brother, Anquan.
Yes, absolutely. Pull the trigger, make it happen. And then Auburn's class will just continue to sort of climb up the rankings. And then you have another one, another Thompson kid who they're having dinner together Saturday night. Did you see this? Did you see Jared Smith and what he showed up in? If you didn't see it, Elon Musk sent us a Cybertruck, I guess. No, he shows up in a Cybertruck with a big Auburn logo on the side. And, I mean, with a commitment coming on August 3rd, I'd say that's pretty good news. That's a pretty good sign right there.
That's what I have talked horribly about the Cybertruck. I've seen them on the road, and I have said this is an atrocious looking car. But after I saw that, I was like, I will eat my words because I'm fine with this. If that's what you want to drive, I'm fine with it. And I will say, no more negativity about the Cybertruck.
I pre-ordered one. I got to get one now. I saw him, and I asked him if they were waiting for a ride or somebody, I guess, at the end of the dinner. And I asked him if they were, you know, waiting on is the Cybertruck coming to pick them up? So, and they all laughed, but that was a pretty good entrance. He commits on Saturday. We assume Auburn, I think on three is going to have a big commitment day. There's going to be several, like probably kind of like this live sort of announcements, things like that. And they're going to go live. And I think, he's going to be a part of that. So that's good publicity. And then B, hopefully, he pulls the trigger, and that's a position of need too. And he's a monster. He is an absolute monster. He's, you know, every bit of 6'6", 240, 250 pounds. And again, just another guy from Thompson. Hey, did you see the punter? Got a punter from Thompson today. Evan McGuire's little brother. I forget his name, but it's going to be, we're creating this Thompson pipeline. It's kind of fun. You're from Birmingham area, right?
So, yes, I went to Vestavia, but Thompson, we hear a lot about Thompson football up here. So
yeah,
bring them all.
Bring them all. Bring me all the Thompson kids. But yeah, so that's kind of the 2026 deal. I saw somebody ask a question. I'm going to pull it up really quick and kind of address it because I think it's sort of the big – topic, I guess, is on quarterbacks. See if I can do this right. Oh, there we go. There we go.
There you go.
Johnny, what quarterback do we have on campus? Johnny, I'm going to be honest. Unless it was an incredibly well-kept secret, which is not, I wouldn't really put it out of the realm of possibility. You only had really two guys that we were looking at is KJ Lacy and Deuce Knight. And I don't have any confirmation that either one of them made it in. And even if they did come in, one of them come in, I don't know that it's something with both of them being committed elsewhere. If they didn't leak it out, it's probably for a reason. So I don't know. I'm just going to have to go with what I know. And I don't know that we, you know, had one in. But I think it's something that definitely wanted to address because I saw it come in. 2026 was the theme. 2026 commits was the theme. State of Alabama was the theme. And things got going really early the first commitment of the day was from Hezekiah Harris. He will be a five-star. Like people get mad at me because I call him a five-star. He's the number 16 overall player in the country. Okay, so like just because they haven't given out all 32 of the five stars, he's going to get one. 16 is inside 32. So he's going to be a five star, and he looks like a five star, plays like a five star. And that's another one though. That's another one that's like, we kind of felt like it was going to happen for a while. So I don't know if people are as excited about this kid as they should be.
Hey, go ahead and give him his flowers, give him his five stars and let him have them. But this is one that I've heard you talk about a lot on your show, excitement about him, and you know, hearing that he would most likely land at Auburn was something that excited you. And I've also heard basically everyone that I've heard talk about this kid has said he will be a five star. So that, I mean, bringing in a five-star in 2026 is, you know, that's never a bad thing. But one thing that I saw a lot of question about and concern about is, okay, y'all are getting so excited about these 2026 commitments, but it's 2024 right now.
Yeah.
So, you know, with the way that players are flipping, decommitting, recommitting, the madness of that.
Sure.
Who knows where they'll be in 2 years. But my rationale behind that is I feel like play on field becomes so important with, I mean, with any preach. Future commit.
That'll preach.
Because obviously they're committing. We haven't in the past few years shown anything very impressive on the field.
Sure. But especially offensively.
And so bringing in this level of talent becomes more impressive in my eyes, whether it's a kid that's not graduating for 2 years or not. When you don't have incredible seasons, incredible records to sell in the recent past, I feel like that shows a lot about, you know, the culture around the program. And if we can pull things together this season on the field, I feel like that will, you know, who knows where we'll be in 2 years, 3 years, however many years.
Yeah, start off 5-0 and see what happens at Auburn. It's going to get pretty nutty. This is my thing. The recruiting schedules now are with the signing days in December and like people starting to take all their official visits early, like in the summer and committing in the summer, like that. It's not that early. If you really think about it, it's really not super early. And then on top of things is even though it's easier to flip people now, it's still harder to flip someone than it is to get someone that's uncommitted. So getting them in the boat, all that does is give you a chance to kind of continue to cement those relationships. And you just popped off the number two player in the state of Alabama. Like he could very well be the number one player, depending on how he plays this season and next. And you're talking about a kid who's already a full-grown man. Like he could possibly – I mean, he could reclassify and play with this 2025 class. Like he's that big already. So, like, what does it look like when he actually gets here? So, Hezekiah Harris starting off the day with a bang, future five-star is big. And then my favorite one of the day, obviously, Mr. Shedarius Tootle. Dad let me wear his jacket. That jacket, by the way, has gotten more. I think the jacket has gotten more traction than maybe the commitments. It's that jacket's pretty hot. So if you want to buy it, go to, I think it's tootleboysports.com and you can order one. So check it. Definitely check that out. I tweeted about it earlier, but no, Shedarius Tootle, middle linebacker. I talked to him, Cottage Hill High School Academy, something like that in Mobile. 6'3", 220, Taylor. 6'3", 220 at 16. Playing middle linebacker. Plays running back. Plays tight end. Does a little bit of everything. Pulls the trigger. Number three player in the state of Alabama. I mean, what's going on? What's going on? This train's rolling. I mean, this train's rolling, and I don't see it stopping anytime soon.
And something else that stood out to me from your conversation with him. First, is he a little quiet?
He's a little quiet.
Okay, because he seemed soft-spoken, but what he was saying was exciting me.
Yeah.
And he said something about, you know, Auburn's next national championship run is going to come from Mobile. And I was
yes.
That's say big more, words. Shedarius.
Yes, say more. The number one player in that class is Tank Jones from Mobile. Antonio Coleman's obviously from Mobile. Auburn used to, back in the day, you know, back before Saban was here, Auburn won a lot of battles in Mobile. Auburn had some hooks in some schools in Mobile, and a lot of Auburn successful, you know, a lot of the Auburn greats were from that Mobile area. And for the longest time, it's been sort of the door's been shut. So to be able to get back in there and land kids like this, and look, this is a kid. We may not if we don't win a game, I feel like he's still going to be an Auburn Tiger. Like this dude loves Auburn. His family loves Auburn. I'm very excited. I'm going to go. So he's in the same classification as the school I went to high school and they play this year. And I'm going to definitely attend that game. So hopefully we'll get some good footage and stuff like that. But he's a stud. I've been excited about him for a while. I mean, this kid could be, you saw the picture of him standing next to me. He's an absolute beast. He's a definition of a hulking super team. But he'll be I mean, gosh, he could be 6'3", 6'4", 230-ish plus pounds when he steps on campus. I mean, we don't have a linebacker. I don't think we have a linebacker on the roster right now that's close to that size.
That was something that stood out also. Well, his family loving Auburn. Great. That never hurts. But a question that I have, this was something that got brought up a lot after fans were so excited about Alvin Henderson committing, which I was able to have a conversation with him. I love him. He has a great personality.
That was a great interview. Yeah.
I like him a lot. And he seems like he's putting a lot of effort towards recruiting, but he played the classification that he plays in high school. They're like, okay, yeah, his stats, that's great. That's great. But who's he playing against? And Ryan Brown, they were talking about on the next round, and he said, these kids, no matter, you know, playing 7A football doesn't make you better because just because you play 7A, and playing 1A football doesn't make you bad just because you play 1A. But, and he's running over whoever's put in front of him. So that's all he can do. So with Shedarius Tootle, I believe, is it 3A?
Yeah, he's in 3A, yes.
So is that of concern, quote unquote concern? Because I feel like that's just one of the things that gets brought up when you bring in these kids from smaller schools that have great stats, but you know, they might not be playing super talent.
Exactly. Well, look, I did a show on Alvin and we talked about that. And like, even last year, his video game number season that he put up, like there's still good teams at that level. And he played against three teams. I think he played against Leroy High School in the playoffs, who has multiple state championships. I think there was three teams that had like 15 state championships between them, Leroy, Maplesville, and I think it was Brantley. And he just shredded all of them. Like, it's so it doesn't matter if it's the, you know, the mom and pop school or it's the best school in that classification, Alvin Henderson will shred them. And this is the same thing with Shedarius Tootle. He plays all over the field. So he's playing both ways. You get to do that when you're a smaller school guy. You're sort of relied upon playing both ways. But he plays running back, he plays middle linebacker. He can play tight end. He can play wide receiver. I mean, he's tall enough. He can just kind of, you know, moss whoever he wants to. It all that matters is, are you doing what you should be doing at that level? Alvin absolutely torches everybody he ever plays, and Shedarius Tootle plays at an incredibly high level. Very, very excited about him. I don't care if he played private school AISA. He's a stud, and I'm glad to have him. And I'm glad to have that family a part of this program too, because they're going to be big assets. They're fired up. So it's going to be good. That kid's going to be fun to watch over the next couple of years. The third commitment from the 2026 class that we had was Jamichael Garrett from Gulf Shores, Alabama. Taylor, I describe him as, if you're an Eric Winters fan, Auburn's highest recruit this year in the 2025 class. He's basically a carbon copy. Just 1 year younger, similar size. They do a lot of different things. He plays safety, he plays linebacker. He plays some wildcat quarterback. He gets snaps in 6A on offense, just like Eric Winters. Man, if you can have two versatile guys that can play, you can basically put them anywhere, and they can stay on the field too for multiple different packages. I think versatility out of these two guys, and you get them back-to-back years. I just can't think of two similar guys that we've had like that close together that'll be able to just kind of roll out of one and roll into the other.
And if I am reading correctly, the number 8 ranked player in Alabama. So that's
2, 3, and 8.
Yeah, 2, 3, and 8, and then potentially 1.
Yeah, I mean, you may get Tank Jones said a lot of good things. He was at Alabama's event. Here's the cool thing: 2, 3, and 8 got to commit in front of 1, 4, 5, 6, and 7. So
which all, is stupid. Like, that's that is crazy. Insane.
Yeah, all eight were there. 2, 3, and 8 committed in front of 1, 4, 5, 6, 7. So if that doesn't get you fired up, then that's a you problem. That's a you problem, because that's definitely a big deal. For sure. So that 2026 class could be pretty epic. And we're just talking about Alabama guys. I mean, there was five-star Georgia dudes there, Zealous Hicks, all kind of guys that Auburn's sitting pretty for. Got some predictions for a couple of those Georgia kids after they left. The big prediction though, the one player out of that 1 through 8 that I was I've always been kind of nervous about is the kid from Benjamin Russell. His name's C.D. Morgan. I think that's correct. Sedarius Morgan. He's a freak wide receiver, 6'6", 220, played with Malcolm Simmons. He leaves, Taylor, boom, two crystal balls back-to-back from Jason Caldwell, Christian Clemente. And this kid's got, like, Alabama family, everything. So, like, there was no doubt in my mind that was going to be a battle to get this kid. He comes for a visit, in the mix, boom, two predictions back-to-back. So, you could sweep it. I think Auburn really legitimately could sweep 1 through 8 next year.
Has that ever happened? And if when?
The closest ever, I could do a whole show about this. The closest ever, I think, one of Tommy Tuberville's later classes, 05 or 06, I think he got like 1 through 6 or maybe 1 through 7. But that was like by default. It was because Alabama was reeling off of, you know, what they were doing. And it took 5 seconds for Saban to come in. And then his very first class, I think he got all the top 10, like he got everybody. So, Hugh being able to put the emphasis on it, he got a number of guys out of the top 10 last year, this 2024 class in Alabama. This coming up year, there's an opportunity. If you flip Derek Smith, you could have 8 of the top 10. And then next year, you already got 3 out of the top 8, and you had all of the top 8 here for Big Cat Weekend, and you're getting predictions for dudes left and right. It's kind of crazy. It's kind of crazy to see the success. I mean, I kind of expected it because maybe not to this level, but I expected Hugh to kind of be a boss on the trail. But boy, oh boy, to be able to have the footprint or sort of like the penetration you're having in the Alabama market and stuff like that. It's been pretty fun to watch.
And something that I think gets looked over is the fact that, yes, obviously if there's talent down the road, you want to bring them in. But going back to my conversation with Alvin Henderson, I said, how big was you staying this close to home when you decided to flip? Because Penn State's, you know, that's not close to home for your parents to come watch you play on Saturday.
Yeah.
And he said it wasn't, he said one of Hugh Freeze's selling points was he was talking to my mom and he said, you can, if we have a 12 o'clock game, you can be, you know, back home sitting on your couch before it gets dark out. And he said, but it was not just my family. It was my entire community.
Yes.
Because I feel like winning the fandom, because there are going to be kids that are at the grade school that these guys come from that, you know, think it's so cool to watch, you know, X, Y, or Z play on TV on Saturday. And I feel like the morale in state, especially when you're trying to rebuild a program, never hurts either.
No, totally. I said when he committed, I said, there ain't no child from Elba, Alabama going to Penn State. It just ain't happening. I'm sorry. There's no small town, Elba, Alabama. He's not going to Penn State. That's why I was always kind of like, everybody chill. Like, don't go off on him. Don't, like, when he puts his tweets and stuff like that, like, just chill. He's going to be an Auburn Tiger. Like, he's not going to Penn State. It's not happening. And I loved y'all's interview because basically he confirmed everything that I thought in his interview that, you know, I still was feeling Auburn the whole time. Hugh never let up on me, which I knew he wouldn't. And then he went ahead and pulled the trigger, which kind of got, I mean, I guess maybe got the real summer roll kind of going to go ahead and get that flip. And then obviously you have your big deal this weekend and it was a lot of fun. So, so the 2026 class, pretty epic start so far, and I don't think it's going to be done anytime soon. It's good to go ahead and get these kids in the boat, go ahead and kind of flex on them and let them know, hey, we're here to play. We're here to play hardball. Who's next? We talked about that. We talked about Anquan Fagans. He's announcing, I guess it would be tomorrow, Monday, not sure the time. And then you got, I still think, keep your head on a swivel or for Derek Smith, because I think he could possibly pull the trigger here soon. And then you got Jared Smith on Saturday. So that's kind of who we got to watch. We're watching if we've made any kind of progress with a quarterback. that's got to happen pretty soon. I want to look at some of the questions that we've had in the comments. We'll go through some of those and we'll call it a night. But one I thought was a really good question. Let me get back to it. From James Barnett, how big of a deal would it be if we didn't sign a high school quarterback in 2025? I think some have forgotten about Hank and Walker White. That's a great question. Taylor, you want to? What do you think about that one?
So I actually asked Jason Campbell about this because obviously it's been a big topic of conversation. You know, whenever we get a wide receiver recruit, the rival fan base's response is always, well, who's going to throw him the ball? Who's going to throw him the ball? And I thought Jason Campbell's response was, I mean, it makes a whole lot of sense. He said, the quarterbacks that are there, you know, they know that a quarterback is someone that you're going to bring in with every single class. And if Hank and Walker or whoever else is there, if they don't like, you know, they should be expecting that first off. Maybe a freshman won't come in and play right away. So, you know, we need to have those guys to, as a buffer in between, you know, when Peyton's gone and whoever will come next. But it's good competition. And I don't think that recruiting another quarterback is saying that anyone's doubting the guys that are there right now.
Exactly. So, James, I think for 2024 or whatever you call this football season, is it, do you call it 2024 because it goes into 2020? Yeah, the 2024 football season. I'm sorry, let me go back. The 2025 football season, when this quarterback will actually be at Auburn, whoever they may or may not be, I don't think it means anything for 2025, okay? Because you're either going to be – it's either going to be Hank, it's going to be Walker White, or – it'll be a portal guy. I don't think you're recruiting a high school kid now to be your starter next year. So from that standpoint, no, it's not a big deal. But in my opinion, you got to have a quarterback every year. You just have to. Maybe it's not a premium to have like the best one that you maybe could take a little bit more of a project role. Maybe have a really high eval on a guy this year to bring in. But in general, you want to try to get your best players you can every single year. And even though guys like Derek Smith want to see who the quarterback is, more than likely they're not going to be catching passes from him for a while. They're going to be catching passes from Hank Brown, Walker White, or if they have to bring in a portal guy. So it's a yes and no for me. I don't think for 2025 it's a big deal, but for recruiting in general, I think you definitely got to bring in a quarterback, the best one you can get every single year. So, yeah, I like that. That was a good question. Do you think Walker White takes over this year in 2024? Will Deist? What do you think about that one, Taylor?
I think it may have been Zach Blackerby that went on. I don't want to call it a rant. I feel like that has a negative connotation to it. But
you can call it that.
Explained everything behind the scenes that – was going on that impacted Peyton Thorne last year that we don't think about when we're watching the games on TV. And that's, you know, the play calling, the confusion of play calling. You have two people calling plays and you don't have a lot of time to meet one-on-one with Hugh Freeze. You know, he admitted, I'm doing a lot of recruiting. I'm doing a lot of, you know, the stuff to try and get this program back rolling. So he wasn't as involved as I don't think he would have liked to be. And I'm pretty sure that Peyton said maybe at media days, you know, I'm meeting with him once a week now in his office. So yes. I feel like everything has to be a little more organized. The receivers, and I'll actually read a text that I got from Jim Dunaway earlier. He always will go back and watch random old games, whether it's from last year or 15 years ago. He'll go back and watch. And he texted me earlier this afternoon and said, watching UGA Auburn from last year, 27-20 Auburn ball late in Georgia territory. Wide receivers have dropped every pass. And I've heard the statistic somewhere, and I don't know the number, and I don't know where I read it, but the amount of incompletions that hit the hands of the receivers. I don't know what it is, but I think the talent that has been brought in around Peyton should make him, but even if his talent, which it should have improved because, you know, everyone should improve over time. But even if it didn't, I think the offense would look better this year just because of what's been brought in around him.
Exactly. better receivers, more cohesion, more pulling in the right direction as far as offense goes. And then Hugh Freeze is just – he's a play caller, man. He said it. This last year was the first year he ever didn't call plays. And I think there was a little stretch of games where he had to come in and kind of take over. But I think you're just going to see a much better offensive football team in general. So I think saying that, I think Peyton Thorne is going to have a pretty good year. So I don't necessarily see Walker White taking over this year, but I can see some, I can see some better opportunities. I can see some better opportunities for Auburn to light up the scoreboard early on some of these lower opponents, and especially this first five game stretch. And Walker getting some really good snaps this year and possibly working towards that big QB battle moving into 2025. So, no, I don't think he takes over this year, but he's going to be one that's going to be hard to keep off the field eventually. Take maybe two more, and then we're going to call it a night. This one was pretty funny, I thought. Will I hang the Auburn jacket in the rafters of the house in honor of the historic Big Cat weekend? Well, number one, it's not my jacket yet. I got mine. I'm going to get mine on order, so I will have one soon. That was Shedarius's dad's jacket. He insisted I wear it on the interview, and we had been talking about it for a while, so I definitely wanted to do that. But the jacket, again, jacket's got some mileage this week, so it's been a lot of fun. So I actually think that's probably going to be it. That's going to be it for tonight. I had a ton of fun. This is my first live stream. I think there's going to be a lot more, maybe a lot more with both of us in the future. So definitely maybe some stuff coming around the bend that we'll talk about whenever it's ready. But Taylor, I appreciate you coming. You ever heard the term boog? You booged out really, really hard, and I really appreciate it. So that's just basically, you know, your Auburn fandom was at peak. Your excitement is, as an Auburn fan was at peak, and I really appreciate it. And we'll do it again soon. So, guys, that's going to be it for tonight. Thanks for the questions. Thanks for chiming in, and we'll do it again soon. So this is another – I don't know if you call it another episode, but it's the first of hopefully many live streams, and we'll get after it again at another time. So thanks again, guys. War Eagle.